So to start today's show, let's check in on Florida.
You injected murder babies in your veins. Good job.
That's enough, Florida. Hi, welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. It is Thursday, April 8th, 2021. Hit that like button, otherwise we'll absolutely destroy your windpipe. A little bit too aggressive, but let's jump into the news show thing that I do. And first up today is a story that involves you. Have you ever found yourself going, I love the Philip DeFranco Show, but I want even more news, and also maybe news on days that I don't get the PDS? Well, after today's show, you should go to DeFrancoDailyDownload.com. Don't worry, we're gonna get a better URL. And sign up for my daily newsletter. It pops into your inbox early in the morning. It covers way more than what I can cover in these videos. It also does it quickly and on days that I'm not even posting the PDS. Maybe even sign up your friends and family that hate my face and my voice, but you want them to be informed.
So yeah, there was that.
Then, let's talk about this story that absolutely blew up, which would be surprising, except for the fact that it broke rule number one of the internet. Once something is posted online, it is there forever. And as we have seen countless times over the last decade, when you try to break rule number one, people will go out of their way to make sure it stays and it spreads. And the instance of that today is with Khloe Kardashian, because reportedly her team was trying to remove an unapproved photo from the internet. So the photo in question apparently was uploaded without her permission, and as many have noted on the internet, it appears much more natural than the other photos she tends to post. Right now, airbrushing or excessive editing, she just kind of looks like a normal person. And she's just casually standing by a pool in a swimsuit and she's smiling at the camera. But while she was posed, there were reports claiming that she didn't actually want this on the internet, with Tracy Romulus, Chief Marketing Officer for KKW Brands, telling Page Six, the color-edited photo was taken of Khloe during a private family gathering and posted to social media without permission by mistake by an assistant. Khloe looks beautiful, but it is within the right of the copyright owner to not want an image not intended to be published taken down. And notably there, Page Six also reported that copies of this photo had been taken down under legal threats. And so once that happened, it sparked this massive conversation and debate about Khloe and the Kardashian family. Right, the way they've impacted beauty standards, body image perceptions, Photoshop, the reality versus Instagram argument. Especially since lately with Khloe, she's made a lot of headlines for posting photos of herself that do not always look like her. I see people saying things like, this is the best she's looked in my opinion. Stop with the unrealistic beauty standards we know are fake. We're sick of seeing them. And the Kardashians have body shamed and endorsed diet products for years, and I'm supposed to feel sorry for Khloe because a perfectly beautiful unedited pic got dropped on the internet? But you of course also had others sympathetic to her situation, saying it would be amazing if Khloe K could embrace that unedited image. But she was literally bullied her entire life for her body and looks, held against the beauty standards of her sisters. You made her not comfortable with her own body and face. You did this to her. And all of this kept growing and growing, and it actually led to Khloe herself responding on Instagram yesterday, posting a video showing her unedited body and writing, the photo that was posted this week is beautiful, but as someone who has struggled with body image her whole life, when someone takes a photo of you that isn't flattering in bad lighting or doesn't capture your body the way it is after working so hard to get it to this point, and then shares it to the world, you should have every right to ask for it to not be shared regardless of who you are. And adding that the pressure and ridicule of being called the fat sister or the ugly sister has been too much to bear. Though adding, I'm of course not asking for sympathy, but I am asking to be acknowledged for being human. It's almost unbearable trying to live up to the impossible standards that the public have all set for me. And you had some, including a lot of celebrities, taking that, celebrating that, but you know, the backlash was still there, with some people saying things like, while I have empathy for her, she is currently part of the problem. And as far as my opinion, here's what I'll say. I have not shown the now easy to find photo in question because I'm not looking to get into an easily avoidable lawsuit. But one, as Beyonce and many others have learned in the past, once you try and legally take things down, the internet's gonna make sure it lives forever. And two, I am kind of torn on Khloe's response because I do feel like it's just all everyone's bad. It's a vicious cycle. But I mean, how many stories just in the last 2 months have involved looking back at the treatment primarily of women in the media and now social media? A lot of the time, it is just genuinely dehumanizing and horrible. And so when you have an unthinkable amount of eyes on you and the people around you and comparisons are being made and all this horrible stuff's being spewed, it becomes a little more understandable why you would Photoshop things, why you would smooth things. Though I think the understanding there falls short for the fact that the Kardashian Jenner clan have pushed some horrible products. One of the most notable that kind of comes to mind is the detox shit yourself tease. And that, in my opinion, is where you do enter the uncomfortable world of, it's essentially fraud. If you showcase yourself and your body in a way that is not real, and then you use that fake image to get people to buy a product so they can look like you, that's a scumbag move. By no means are you the only person doing that, but it's scummy. But I can honestly say, other than, you know, the Photoshopped image on a sponsored post, that whole thing, I don't know, other than that, if I would have done anything different than Khloe. Also, if a friend of mine posted a photo of me that I didn't approve, I thought I looked bad in, I would strangle them to death. For legal reasons, what I just said is hyperbole and or a joke. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of the only angle and frame that I can kind of deal with being released to the internet right now.
Yeah, for me, that's why I'm torn. Like, if you take away the privilege and the money and the fame, and you just try and treat people like people, I think a lot of stuff becomes a little more understandable.
Though, that obviously doesn't completely absolve people from the fact that they helped feed the machine by promoting fake and impossible body and beauty standards, often for money.
But that's a story, some of my thoughts on it, and now I pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts with this?
Then, in interesting tech news, we should definitely talk about this story that it's like, it makes sense, but then also the more you think about it, the more you see it's kind of odd.
So while this story is getting attention now, it actually came from an announcement last month,
with Intel announcing Bleep, which is a new AI-powered tool that hopes to cut down on the amount of toxicity that gamers have to experience in voice chat.
Right, so essentially, it listens to incoming audio, it uses AI to know what is being said, and then it decides to censor, bleep, whatever.
Which, hey, makes sense. I remember COD lobbies. There's a lot of stuff being said and not everyone wants to hear that.
But where we're seeing the debate is that during the presentation, that the way that you actually put in these filters in place is with sliders.
But technically not everything has a slider. For example, the N-word is a simple on or off switch.
You also get that option for everything else.
But for ableism and body shaming, aggression, LGBTQ plus hate, misogyny, name calling, racism and xenophobia, sexually explicit language, swearing, and white nationalism, there's a slider.
And so Intel and Bleep ask, do you want none, some, most, or all of that?
You know, in case you're like, okay, Greg, I don't want to hear Greg say the N-word.
But he does have some interesting thoughts about the Jews.
There are also questions about, well, what is the difference between some and most racism? Does it start bleeping after a certain number of slurs, or is it like slurs about certain groups? Is there like a hierarchy as far as like which groups you can be racist to? You like definitely no N-word right at the top. But what are your thoughts about Mexicans and or Muslims?
And understand, I find myself agreeing with John Porter from The Verge, who wrote,
it's a noble effort, but there's something bleakly funny about Bleep's interface.
Right, because I get, and I love the cause, right? No person, just because they want to play online, should be forced to be subjected to abuse.
Also, from a creator streamer standpoint, it just makes sense to be able to kind of mute these things out so you can have a clean stream.
But there is something inherently funny about it being handled with sliders.
Like, what would you like today? Some misogyny or some misogyny?
Then, you know, it kind of feels like a continuation from what we were talking about yesterday. The creator economy is white hot right now.
Big creators are making big moves. One of the most recent is that Mr. Beast reportedly just signed a multi-year distribution deal with Jellysmack.
And as part of the deal, Jellysmack will be taking his incredibly popular YouTube content and optimizing it for Snapchat and Facebook as a way to widen his social audience.
With Mr. Beast saying in a statement, with this Jellysmack program, I'll be able to reach even more fans on the platforms they prefer.
Which also aligns with something that he said in an interview and podcast with Colin and Samir a few days ago.
Right, there are so many massive creators that you have no idea about.
How many times have I covered someone on this show and I'm like, they're a massive creator, and it ends up being someone that has like 50 to 70 million TikTok followers, 10 million YouTube subscribers, and so many of you are like, I have literally no idea who this person is.
You could be making this person up and I would have zero clue.
And that's because while we often think of the internet as this one big thing and what we know is kind of everything,
oftentimes these social platforms are kind of like their own islands, their own countries, their own world.
It's also why generally it's incredibly rare for someone to be big on all platforms. Usually someone has like their main hub and they have a trickle elsewhere.
And then on the other end, as far as the company business aspect of this, Jellysmack's been very interesting to watch because they've been able to lock down massive creators. I mean, you've got Mr. Beast here. One of the last times we talked about them, they locked down PewDiePie for a similar deal.
Right. And in addition, for these creators to grow their audience, one of the big reasons they're going is the income potential.
With Jellysmack founder Michael Felipe claiming that Facebook is actually a very lucrative digital video market
and saying that a lot of creators can actually make more money there than on YouTube if you do it right.
And it'll definitely be interesting to watch because in addition to Mr. Beast and PewDiePie, reportedly they've brought in about 49 creators thus far. Then let's take a second to pay some bills and thank the fantastic sponsor of today's show, Magic Spoon.
Also, I'm going off script for a second. The first time I tasted Magic Spoon, my legitimate reaction was, bitch, what?
It had no right tasting as good as it did.
What I mean by that is that Magic Spoon is essentially the adult version of cereal, right? It has all the tastes that you want, but also it's high in protein, it's low carb, and it has 0 grams of sugar.
Basically, tons of nutritional value and none of the sugar rush that you got from your childhood cereals.
Well, Magic Spoon does taste too good to be true, which by the way, as of this morning, it is tray approved. I asked him if it was good and he said, it's amazing!
But it's also perfect for busy people looking for a guilt-free snack that's filling in, keeps the carbs low.
Right, if you're a cereal anytime person, go ahead, eat it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, why not?
Personally, last night I
had my favorite flavor, which is Frosted, just as a snack. But also, their new peanut butter is crazy delicious. It actually sold out 3 times in 2020, so now they've added it to their Build Your Own Box option. And they also have favorites like cinnamon, blueberry, fruity, frosted, cocoa. And best of all, Magic Spoon ships directly to your door, and it's affordable at roughly $1.80 per bowl. So go to magicspoon.com/DeFranco and enter in code DeFranco to get your own variety pack for $5 off. Then, in some I hate people COVID news, one, is being reported by places like the New York Times that there are now tons of people selling fake or stolen vaccination cards, with them reportedly popping up on places like Etsy, eBay, Facebook, and Twitter being offered for $20 to $60. And as far as who's buying them, it's actually more than who you're thinking. Because yes, we are seeing things like an anti-vaccine groups, people going like, haha, I'm gonna get one. We also have others actually buying it to get the shot. Right, well, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is just one shot, the others are two-shot regimens. So you have people buying these stolen cards or these fake ones, and they're entering in a false date for their first shot. And so when they show up, it appears that they're there for their second shot, and as the New York Times notes, some pharmacies and state vaccination sites have given priority to people due to their second shots. Which, one, a really shitty thing to do if you're in a place where they're constantly running out, but also, two, really clever. Like, y'all really thought about it and compared to the anti-vaxxers, you know. Granted, I still think you should be held accountable, but clever's clever. And then the other piece of news here is that there should not be a sentence that exists that involves the words COVID-19 prank. But we did see those words in headlines because 3 students in Switzerland decided to prank. It's not a prank. They decided to trick and lie their way into getting out of school by faking positive COVID-19 tests. And not only did, of course, they get out of school, 25 of their classmates, as well as several of their teachers, had to quarantine for 10 days. And as far as what's happening to those 3 students, reportedly, even though the school will not be trying to expel them, they are planning to pursue criminal charges for falsifying health-relevant documents. Which is a little odd, though maybe they're seeing if they will get convicted for that before expelling them. Then, let's talk about that old man that keeps falling upstairs, aka the President of the United States. And this, in part, because yesterday, the Treasury Department unveiled President Biden's proposal to raise $2.5 trillion over the next 15 years in order to fund his sweeping infrastructure plan. Right, so when we last talked about this, I mentioned that Biden planned to pay for it in part by raising the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%, as well as boost the global minimum tax to end profit sharing. But reportedly, that's not going to cover the whole cost. So now, in addition to that, we have more information about how he plans to do so. And kind of surface level explanation here is that Biden's proposal will largely focus on closing loopholes used by large corporations. So among other things, Biden's current plan will require companies with annual profits of $2 billion or more to pay a set minimum of at least 15% taxes, punishing companies at headquarter in low-tax countries, replacing fossil fuel tax subsidies with new incentives for clean energy alternatives, and beefing up the corporate tax enforcement at the IRS. With Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying that this move will end a global race to the bottom for lowest corporate taxation that has hurt American workers and the economy. And adding, our tax revenues are already at their lowest level in generations, and as they continue to drop, the country will have less money to invest in airports, roads, bridges, broadband, job training, and research and development. By choosing to compete on taxes, we've neglected to compete on the skill of our workers and the strength of our infrastructure. But we've also seen a lot of opposition to this plan. For example, business groups have already slammed the proposal, arguing that it will put U.S. firms at a competitive disadvantage. This, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who said in a statement that the move would hurt American businesses and cost American jobs. And while Republicans like Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell have said that they could get behind a more pared-down infrastructure plan, they have also condemned the proposed tax hikes. But it's also not just Republicans. You have the make or breaker in the Senate, Senator Joe Manchin. With Manchin warning earlier this week that he would not support a 28% corporate tax hike and claim that there are also 6 or 7 other Democrats that feel very strongly about this. But also very notably on that point, we had Biden indicating yesterday that he is open to negotiation, which is a thing that apparently can happen in the Senate. According to myth, negotiation and compromise were things once. But there we'll also have to wait and see. Like with the other news, yesterday you had President Biden publishing a fact sheet detailing 6 initial executive actions that are aimed at addressing what he called the gun violence public health epidemic, saying one of the rules will help stop the proliferation of so-called ghost guns. Right, guns that can be built at home by buying individual parts or kits to assemble guns that usually lack serial numbers, making them harder to identify and trace. Also, saying another will make clear that when a device is marketed as a stabilizing brace, it effectively turns a pistol into a short-barreled rifle that must be subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act. With a press release also noting that the alleged shooter who killed 10 people in Boulder last month appeared to have used a pistol with an arm brace, which can make a firearm more stable and accurate, and arguing that it helps make the gun more concealable. Biden Biden will also reportedly direct the Justice Department to publish a model for states to use to enact red flag laws, which of course would allow family members or law enforcement officials to petition a court to temporarily ban a person in crisis from accessing firearms, as well as require that agency to publish an annual report on firearms trafficking. And in addition to those actions, the president will nominate gun control advocate David Chipman to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which is a very notable move because it has not had a permanent director since 2015. There's also more to this, I'll link to it down below, but you know, this announcement isn't that surprising. And I don't mean just from like a Biden ideals standpoint, but kind of a political pressure standpoint. Biden's got a lot of heat from gun control activists and Democrats to act on gun violence following the mass shootings in Atlanta and Boulder, with many of those people condemning Biden for not making gun control a top priority for his first days in office after he promised to do so during his campaign. In fact, according to a recent ABC News Ipsos poll, 57% of Americans disapprove of the way that Biden has handled gun violence so far, with two-thirds there reportedly believing that reducing gun violence should be a higher priority than protecting the right to own a wide variety of guns. Though, there Biden does have some support, with people pointing out that for his party has repeatedly pressured Congress to take action on gun violence, specifically pointing to two bills passed by the House last month. But those proposals were also dead on arrival when they got to a divided Senate, something that Biden even seemed to acknowledge in his fact sheet. Though, notably here in a speech this afternoon where Biden reiterated the details of these executive actions, he also emphasized that these are just first steps, with him also noting that he'll have to go through Congress to do more and urging them to take action.
So folks, this is just the start. We've got a lot of work to do. Let me be clear. This is not a partisan issue among the American people. This is a view by the American people as an American issue. And I'm willing to work with anyone to get these done. And it's long past time that we act. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment.
But given that you do essentially have a deadlocked Senate, yes, it is technically 50-50, Dems can split a tie, while Republicans almost universally vote as a bloc these days, you do have such a thing as a conservative Democrat in Manchin and a few others. And definitely with Manchin, he's not afraid to stray from the group. And ultimately, with this story, and honestly, anything that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in those comments down below, because this is the end of the video. And as always, thank you for watching, subscribe, and all the good stuff. But remember, for the month of April, I'll be giving $5,000 to someone already subscribed and $5,000 to a brand new subscriber if you subscribed in April. So get to it, get your family, your friends, whoever to subscribe. Join this ever-growing, beautiful bastard family. But as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you next time.